afternoon, everyone. Are you enjoying yourselves? Yes. Was it good food? Yes. All right. So that means that we are all ready for the next presentation. And my clicker doesn't work for some reason. Oh, I didn't plug it in. That might be the reason. So that means that we're all ready for the next session, which is going to be about jQuery. So I'm going to talk to you in a session which is titled "Come In as a jQuery Zero, Go Out as a jQuery Hero." So that's going to be the goal of this talk, explaining you everything you need to know about jQuery. So in the next 75 minutes, you're gonna learn a lot, I hope. We're gonna focus on all there is to know about jQuery. We're gonna focus as well on how the integration with ASP.NET works, both web forms and MVC. And so I hope when you walk out of here that you will know a lot more about jQuery than you know now. Let me first introduce myself a little bit. So my name is Gilles Kleren. I'm Microsoft Regional Director and an MVP. I was recently switched to SilverLight MVP. Before, I was an ASP.NET MVP. I work as a .NET architect at Ordina, where I focus mostly on SilverLight and ASP.NET projects. I'm a regular speaker. I've been at TechEd Norway. I'm going to Berlin, sorry, to Switzerland in the coming months, and to the U.K., to Ireland. So you can catch me at all kinds of conferences in the coming months. We also have a large user group in Belgium. That's Vizug, that I run together with Pieter Gijssen. And also tonight, we are doing a session with Scott Hanselman, which is sadly sold out completely. So if you're not a member yet, head over to our site, vizug.be. All the events are free. It's mostly evening events. Sometimes we do a full day of training as well. So it's vizug.be, and register, and you get all the updates about the events that we do. I've also written a book, SilverLight for Data and Services Cookbook, which is, of course, on SilverLight. You can figure that out for yourself. I've also included my blog as well as my email. I will put the presentation and all the demos on my blog as well. I think they're going to be on the webcam site as well, but I'm going to upload the demos as well on my blog because that's quite a big file. So you can download everything from there if you want. If you want to stalk me on Twitter, the name is @GilKleren. So simply follow me, and you can see everything that I'm doing, more or less. All right. What are we going to talk about? jQuery. As you know, a few people who don't know what jQuery is, I'm going to do a 2-minute introduction about what jQuery really is, and then we're going to dive in some code. First, I'm going to explain you something that I call jQuery fundamentals, which is, well, the things that you really need to know before you can continue with the rest of the talk. Otherwise, you won't follow with the rest. So the basic syntax, I'm going to explain that very quickly. Then we're going to take a look at what jQuery can help us with. Manipulating elements, creating elements, changing events, or creating events, let's say. I'm going to do a very short overview of animations and effects. There's a basic animation engine inside of jQuery Core, and I'm going to show that to you very briefly. Why? Because we're going to focus on it more when we take a look at jQuery UI. In between, I'm going to explain you how to do AJAX calls from jQuery, how we can communicate with ASP.NET MVC, how we can communicate with ASP.NET Web Forms. I'm not sure what Scott this morning told you because I was stuck in traffic, so I couldn't make it. So I'm going to show you my demos. I hope it's not too much of an overlap there. I'm going to show you how extensible jQuery is and how you can write plugins yourself or use plugins that someone else already wrote for you. There's a lot of also in regards to plugins. Microsoft also introduced some plugins, and we're going to take a look at those as well. It's actually going to be the last one. There's one slide on the content delivery network as well to finish off with. You see the bumper sticker over there, the I Love jQuery bumper sticker. Now, that bumper sticker, I'm going to, there it is, the top now. You're going to see that pop out, on the screen several times throughout the talk. To focus your attention on points where, on topics where jQuery really stands out and where it really makes a difference for web developers. Whereas in the past, they had to write a lot of JavaScript themselves, check browser dependencies, check feature dependencies. jQuery solves a lot of those things for us, and I'm going to point those out by placing that bumper sticker on the slide. A small disclaimer, I don't have the bumper stickers with me. If you want, I can give you a big version. You can print it out yourself. I don't have them with me, so don't come asking after the session, can I have a bumper sticker? I won't have them. Sorry. All right, let's get out of the way. Let's take a look at jQuery. So hello, jQuery. What exactly is jQuery? Well, in fact, it's nothing more than a JavaScript library. A JavaScript framework, open source, of course, cross-browser. However, it is a very popular JavaScript framework. In fact, over 30% of the top 10,000 websites today use jQuery. It says something. A lot of people put their trust in jQuery. Now, jQuery really focuses on making client-side scripting easy again. Working with client-side script and HTML has to become easy again. You'll see throughout the talk that it's very easy to create elements, to manipulate elements, to change events, to create events, to do AJAX calls. All those things are wrapped inside of the JavaScript library that is jQuery. It's actually not that old yet. It was released only in 2006 as an open source project. It's of course still open source. So it is, it's actually rather young, but still it has created a lot of buzz in the community, and it's a very popular library. Now, you can ask, why is it so popular? Why jQuery and not some other JavaScript framework? Because there are a lot of JavaScript frameworks out there. Well, one of the things is that other JavaScript frameworks, they often try bending the JavaScript language in a form that it's not made for. Some, for example, try making it an object-oriented language. JavaScript isn't really that. jQuery actually doesn't do that, and it focuses on leveraging what we already know. Things like CSS, HTML, and basic JavaScript, you all know that, I assume. So, by leveraging what we already know a lot of jQuery. It's a very lightweight framework as well. It's really easy to learn. It's really lightweight for your pages. There's a line of jQuery code on the screen there. I assume everyone can read that. Not because of the font that is quite big, but what it actually does. I'm going to select something, and you see the dollar sign that's typical for jQuery. I'm going to hide that thing that I've selected. I'm going to apply some CSS on it, and I'm going to fade it in. I think if I show that to my mother, she might understand. I'm not sure that she might. So it's that easy. It's that easy indeed, yeah. That as E-H-A-D. It's also very extendable. There are many plugins available for jQuery. You can write plugins yourself, but there are already a lot of plugins available, written by the community. And that's also another very strong point of jQuery. It has a really strong community. And also, probably one of the most important points for us as Microsoft developers mostly, it is on Microsoft's radar. I'm coming back to that in just a second. Now, I did mention that there are a lot of websites using jQuery today. The top 10,000 websites, 30%, including these sites. Sites like Electronic Arts, Amazon, Twitter, Dell, Best Buy, they all use jQuery for their websites to make them more interactive. And you also notice Visual Studio. Now, Microsoft and jQuery really hit it off lately. In every new MVC project, in every new web forms project that you create, jQuery is included by default. There is a CDN from Microsoft for jQuery. There is IntelliSense available for jQuery. So all those things show that Microsoft is really putting its effort behind jQuery as well. And perhaps the most striking thing is that Microsoft is now an official contributor to the jQuery project. Last year, 2010, at Mix, they announced that they were going to focus on jQuery instead of the AJAX client library, which was Microsoft's JavaScript library. So they were not going to do any active development on that anymore, but they were going to put their focus on jQuery. And that translated in the creation of three plugins that were officially accepted at the end of last year, at the end of 2010. Data templating, data linking, and globalization. And we're going to take a look at those at the end of the talk. So you see that Microsoft is really putting a lot of effort and a lot of support in jQuery, so that's good news as well. Now, one last thing where jQuery also stands out is the so-called unobtrusive JavaScript. Now, what exactly is unobtrusive JavaScript, you may ask? Well, think back of the day that you wrote your first web form. What did you like about it? The fact that HTML and your C# code could be separated. It's not. Now, behavioral code such as JavaScript is often mixed with the HTML. onClick equals blah. It's very hard to find where all the JavaScript references are, because it's all in one big mix. Now, unobtrusive JavaScript basically says, let's extract all the JavaScript and put it in one place, perhaps in a separate file, and that also has the advantage of the fact that it only has to be downloaded once. But as you can see over here, that quickly translates in a lot of lines of code, because we always have to do the document get element by ID, is on click, and blah, blah, blah. Now, jQuery was actually designed with unobtrusive JavaScript in mind. And you'll see that it becomes a lot easier to write unobtrusive JavaScript using jQuery. All right. So, I think by now everyone has a bit of an understanding what jQuery really is. Let's take a look at some code for jQuery. If you've looked at some jQuery code, you may have already seen the dollar sign. This doesn't get translated into euro sign or something. It's not localized or something. They don't see a lot of money with it either. So basically, the dollar sign points to the so-called jQuery function. The jQuery function, let's say, represents an object, a JavaScript object, that contains an array of elements that were selected from the DOM, from the document object model, based on some selector. And the result is also known as a wrapper or a wrapped set. That's what people mostly say, wrapped set. So basically what you do is you use the jQuery function, you throw at it some query, some selector, say for example, give me all the divs that have a class called some class applied on it. jQuery will take a look inside of the DOM to find all matching elements, and it will create them in a so-called wrapped set. And it will then, we can then use it. For example, we can show it. That's what basically the jQuery function of dollar sign does. Very often, these things can be chained because most functions return the same value, the same wrapped set. So very often you can say, I'm selecting this wrapped set, I'm going to show, and then I'm going to add a class, and so on and so forth. It's always going to return the same wrapped set. The wrapped set is basically the result of executing a jQuery function with some select. All right? That you really have to grasp. That's quite logical. The second thing that you also have to grasp before we continue is the ready handler. Normally, when does JavaScript code run? Or when, let me put it differently, when can it run? It actually can run when the DOM elements, or the DOM, let's say, is ready. That's fine, because then it can do, it can manipulate elements, it can do stuff with the elements. Now, the thing is, what you would normally say, I will put my JavaScript code inside of the window on load. The problem with that approach is that the window on load will only trigger after the entire page has been loaded, including images that have to come from some external server. And it can actually take some time, possibly rendering your page into a non-consistent form because your JavaScript code will do stuff with it. So it's actually too late if you put it in the window on load. A better solution is using jQuery. jQuery has something called the ready handler. And the ready handler basically says, I will run your jQuery code whenever the DOM is ready. The DOM elements have been created, I can now run. It's very easy, and it deserves for that the Isle of jQuery bumper sticker, because it doesn't matter what browser we're running on, it works. How do we write it? Well, basically you say the dollar function, the jQuery function on documents. I append the ready function on that. And inside of that, I write my function that I want to execute. All the code within that ready handler will run when the DOM is ready. Not any sooner, not any later. At the exact point in time when it has to run. And the third fundamental, as the last one, is actually the selectors. And selectors are probably the most important one. They actually form, let's say, the heart of jQuery. The selector is what you pass to the jQuery function, and based on what you pass it, it will return the wrapped set. And remember, two slides back. Now, the jQuery function, just as most things in jQuery, is heavily overloaded. Normally, we pass it a selection, a selector, let's say, to make a selection. We can also pass it an HTML string. I'm coming back to that in just a second. First, selectors. The selectors in jQuery are mostly CSS selectors. They are actually CSS tree selectors. Don't worry if your browser, or the browser that it will be executed on, is not CSS tree compliant. jQuery actually has its own selector engine on board. So you don't have to worry if you're running on this or that version of IE or some other browser. jQuery is actually doing the selections. It doesn't matter. It's non-browser dependent. So, how does a selector actually look like? The most basic one, a basic CSS selector, I think you all know that. What does it say there? I'm going to select all hyperlinks, so all anchors, that have a class, some class applied on it, that lie within a paragraph. jQuery takes that as a selector, we apply the jQuery function on it, and it will return me a wrapped set. Eventually, we can also combine them, placing a comma, for example, also include all the diffs. Child selectors are another way of selecting. Child selectors are basically saying, I want direct children. I want all hyperlinks, so all anchor tags, that lie within an LI, that lie within a UL that has some list applied on it. So if there is some paragraph in between there, it will not be selected because it's not a direct child. The third one is attribute selectors. The third one says, well, I can do selections based on the value of an attribute or even on the presence of an attribute. For example, I can say, well, give me all the hyperlinks that have an href that starts with a reference, no, that contains, sorry, it's a star, that contains a reference to my blog. Make you some publicity. The second one basically says, give me all the spans that have a class that starts with the word sum. And the last one basically says, give me all the spans that have a class applied on it. Again, result will always be the same, a wrapped set on which we can do stuff. We can also do selections based on the position in the page. For example, the first one says, give me the first hyperlink on the page. Give me the first anchor on the page. The second one says, give me all the even diffs. You can use the even and the odd, for example, to alternate rows in a table. You apply different CSS styles on them, for example. And finally, pseudo-classes. Basically, pseudo-classes are custom selectors and also CSS filter selectors. The first one says, input colon checked. That is basically saying, give me, inside of a form, all the inputs that have been checked. You can also do that with an attribute, for example. However, there's a difference in the way that they work. The input colon checked, this one, will also check the ones that have been selected on the client side. So not only the ones that are downloaded, this will actually do a selection based on what you do on the client. For example, a colon password will return me all the password fields. And we can talk for, I think, 3 hours explaining you all the CSS selectors. I think certainly after lunch that's not advisable to do. So we're not going to do that. Instead, I have included this link, also a few samples, on which you can find all the CSS tree selectors that jQuery also understands because it's fully compliant with CSS tree. Again, think back of one of the reasons that jQuery is popular. It simply leverages CSS. It leverages what we already know. You can take a look at this link for all the CSS selectors in a list. Let's take a look at some code now. All right. Let me run it first. I'm going to do a selection here. Hope it's readable for everyone. The first one is going to say, give me all the spans that live within a div. I'm selecting them. I'm applying some clause. How was this written in code? Well, let's take a look. Perhaps I should open the correct file. That might help me. There we go. Inside of the ready handler, this code will always only run after the DOM is ready. I'm going to say, select me all the spans that live within a div. This one is going to say, give me all the anchors within the li directly, not something in between, that live within a ul. If you take a look at what that results in, you see here all the links in an li in a ul are selected. The second one is selections based on the page position. So I'm asking here, give me the first hyperlink. The first hyperlink is done through saying A colon first, based on position. For example, I can also ask, give me the even allies, and it's going to select them. Nice design, of course. Here. The even and the odd can be used, like I already mentioned, for example, to create alternating effects on elements. We can also do selections based on within a form. Let me go first to the sample. It's this one. I can ask to give me all the check inputs. If I do it now, it will give me these two. If I select this one and ask it again, it will actually change. So that's because it's in fact one of those pseudo classes, one of those custom selectors. In code, this was created by saying this one, input colon checked on the context. The context is actually the part in which you want to show. You can pass it optionally in. This one says, give me all the password fields, and it will return me the password field. All right? Now, I already mentioned the fact that selectors are not the only thing that you can pass to the jQuery function. You can also pass an HTML string. So based on what you pass to the jQuery function, it will either do a selection to create a wrapped set, or it will alternatively create an HTML string. So it will actually detect what you pass it. Here you see that I'm passing a div, and it will create that div for me. The second sample, it will create an image for me. Let me show this in action. So, I want to create a new link. It creates me that new link. I want to create a new image. It will create me that new image. Take a look in code. So now you see that the jQuery function actually receives not a selector, but it receives an HTML string, and therefore it will create those elements for me. All right. Basically, behind the scenes, it's just creating a wrapped set with just that one element in, and then I can do whatever I want with it. As you see, later on, I'm appending that, appending the image to the body, as you see here. We'll take a look at those functions later on. So it's basically the jQuery function that is overloaded either with a selector or an HTML string that I pass to it. All right? Now, once we have the wrapped set, we can do stuff with it. Just selecting things is not really that useful. Selecting things for fun is not that useful. We want to do stuff with our selections. We want to do stuff with the elements that we have come to select in the page using the jQuery selectors. We can do stuff with it. We can select, we can work with the set as a whole, asking its size, for example, or we can work with the individual elements. Let's take a look at that. For example, I can ask a wrapped set, how large are you? Remember what I said about a wrapped set? It is nothing more than an array of DOM elements. I can ask an array for its size, and I can just, in the same sense, ask the wrapped set for its size. As you see here, I'm going to select all the anchors and I'm going to ask how many anchors are there on the page. For example, how many rows are there in the table? How many allies are there in the UL? All those things can be selected. The second one is not working with the set as a whole, but is working with the individual elements. How can I give me access to an individual link within that collection? Give me link number 0. I can also loop over the elements within my rep set. For example, I can say, select me all the images, all the image tags on the page. And with the each function, I'm going to loop over them. The each function, I pass another function, and that is going to be executed on each element. For example, I'm going to say here, for each image that is accessible using the this, the this points to the iterated element, I'm going to change its alt value. We can also combine rapid sets. For example, we can say, give me or combine me all the anchors that have a class with all the anchors that have an href. It's going to combine. Now, most of the time, the functions that we will take a look at in just a second will return the same rep set. However, there are some exceptions, and the biggest exception there is a filter. The filter method will logically filter what we already pass it. For example, I say here, give me all the hyperlinks and filter the ones that start with HTTP. That, of course, will return a rep set that is smaller than the initial rep set. There are many options to work with rep sets. I just made a selection here. Let's take a look in the demo to a few others. It's still open, yeah. This first one is asking how many links are pointing to an external site. In other words, how many are starting with HTTP? In this case, it says 2. Well, if you take a look, that seems to be working. That seems to be correct. I cannot fit it on one page, so you have to take my word for it. The first ones are, the second, the third, and the fourth one aren't. So what did I do? I asked it to. That's the working with elements sample. I asked it to select all the anchors that start with HTTP. So the href value starts with HTTP, and I asked for its size. The second one I'm going to show you is a loop, for example. The loop, as mentioned in the slides, can be done using the each function. With that each function, I get access to the individual elements. Let's take a look. Oops, that's not the one that I wanted. So what we do here is I'm going to ask for all the LIs, direct children of a UL, and with the each function, I'm going to loop over them, and based on the fact whether it's even or odd, I'm going to append a different class on the element. I can also filter, for example, or can first I have here changing the alt. If I want to do the alt, I have to go to Firebug for that. Let me go to this one. So I'm going to add an alt to an image. Let's open Firebug for that. So this image should now have an alt. I hope it's visible. So as you see, this one now has an alt. This is an image. Oh, this is image 0. Apply it on it. Because of the fact that I actually asked to select element 0 and change the alt value. Oops, I did it with an each function, sorry. It's going to be added to each image. I can also use the filter, for example, make this one a bit smaller. I can say, give me all the images and filter the ones that contain a cow. Now, there is no jQuery function that checks an image whether or not there's a cow on there. I don't think so. I haven't found. It could be a plugin, so. But anyway, how did I fix that? I actually selected all images, and using a filter, checking the value of the source parameter, if that contains cows, I'm thinking it's going to contain a cow. All right. So that's working with the set. Now, selecting things is one thing that you can do. In many more cases, you're going to change the elements. And you're going to apply different attributes, different CSS styles on it. You can change that as well. jQuery for that provides, at its very base, the ATTR method, the attribute method or the attribute function, which is again overloaded. Based on what you pass it, it will either get the value of a specific attribute or set the value of a specific attribute. The first one is going to get me the value of the alt property for that first element within the wrapped set. So I'm saying, get me my image, which is normally going to be one image, get me the value of the alt. The second one is going to set it, changing the my image alt value to me in Paris. Now, the ATTR can be used for any type of attribute. If you want more like CSS or class-related stuff, we have some shortcuts. jQuery has the add class, the remove class, and the toggle class and the has class method to apply or remove some CSS class from an element. That is if you already have your class. If your class is defined in some CSS that's accessible, you can use this one to actually apply a CSS class on it. If you want to change an individual CSS property, on the other hand, you can use the CSS directly. The CSS method directly can be used, for example, to set one specific CSS property, or you can also pass an array of properties that you want to change. So as you can see there, changing the CSS value to background of the div, the background color to yellow. If you want to change the HTML or get the HTML of an element, we can also do that. And the method for that is HTML. The HTML is again overloaded to either contain a parameter that will be used to set the value of div or either retrieve the value if there's not a parameter defined. If you want to get or set values for form fields, you can use the val function, again overloaded. Don't pass a value if you want to retrieve, pass in a parameter if you want to set a specific value. Okay, let's take a look at this in action. Why is it always scrolling down? Let's take a look to working with attributes. That's this one. So we are going to, we're talking about getting or setting attribute values. First with attribute, and then with we're going to take a look at CSS and add class as well. So the first one is actually fetching an attribute value. The F fell off the page, I'm sorry. So it's not fetch an attribute value, it's fetch an attribute value. So I'm getting this image, it's a source. So let's take a look how we did that. It's this one. So I'm selecting the image using a CSS selector. I'm asking for its source. One parameter, in this case, that basically says, give me the value of that attribute. The second one will change the attribute because I pass in two parameters. Because, like I mentioned, it's all overloaded. Setting the attribute value, and let's take a look with Fiddler. For this image, it is now some birds, as you can see at the bottom. Well, you can't see because it's too low. Alright, so what else can we do? Let's take a look at the overview. Putting this one down again. This one. We can, for example, change the CSS of an element. This is now beautifully pink or something. This is my test color. Aqua pink is my test color. So let's take a look at how I did that. I selected the list, the UL, and I changed the CSS value of the background color to pink. If I want, I can also change more than one value by passing in an object here that contains a cursor, the border, width and height and stuff like that. So that's what I'm doing here. Now Bruce is a bit bigger, as you can see. Let me refresh the page a bit. There is an HTML, there is a non-size change. So I'm going to resize my image, my window. And as you may see at the bottom, there is this value of the window is set, and it's also showing the value. And that is done using the HTML function. Again, the HTML function is overloaded. So in the resize of my window, I'm setting the value. So I'm specifying the HTML function with a parameter, the value that I want to show. If I want to retrieve the value of the HTML, I simply say get me the HTML. Alright? And the last one that I want to show is the same for form fields. So let me type in a name. If I want to retrieve the values of those fields, I can use that. I can do that using the val function. Like everything else, the val is overloaded. I can also pass in a parameter to set the value of a form field. So that is done using the val function, either retrieving, no parameters, setting, with passing, with the passing of a parameter. So this way we can easily change attribute values. That we already saw. Now once we want to add some interactivity to our page, we need some events. Now, when we were all still young, I assume, there was a browser called Netscape Navigator. Someone still know that? Yeah? Yeah. Someone still use that? No. Yeah, one guy? No. You were just putting up your hand because of, yeah, okay. So, now, what they did introduce was something called DOM level null event model. I should actually say DOM level zero event model. And that is actually the event model that says onClick equals this function. Now, that model introduced something that we still know today and that we still use today, but it has some issues. It is only possible to create one event handler for a specific event on a specific element. So you cannot create two onClicks on the same element because then only the last one will be executed, if I'm not mistaken. So only one will be executed. It's also very difficult to write an obtrusive JavaScript. Now to go around those issues, later DOM level 2 event model was introduced. And that introduced a system of listeners. Now the problem there was that it was implemented as the as an at event listener model in other browsers, and in IE it was a attach event. This basically resulted in the fact that we had to write code that is browser dependent, that's actually doing a check for the browser, and that's dirty. jQuery solves that. jQuery makes it easy to write events using a few methods that we're going to show you. That I'm going to show you in just a second. Therefore, it also deserves certainly the I love jQuery bumper sticker, avoiding us to write browser-dependent checks. The bind function is basically jQuery's answer to all the mess that was created. What we say is we select an element, then we use the bind method, the bind function, to specify which event we want to attach to which event handler. Click event, and this function has to be executed. It works in every browser. You can add more than one event handler for the same event on the same element. It basically solves all the problems that the other events, the event models basically introduced. There is a variation, the one function. The one is like the guy in Mission Impossible. This message will destroy itself. The one basically destroys itself after it's executed once. So after the first click, it's gone. As the Mission Impossible variation of the bind function. There's also another variation, and that's the live function. Now the live basically allows us to say everything, even if it doesn't exist yet, that matches the selector, I can attach that event to it. So for example, if you start creating elements on the page, and the bind will not allow you to say, I'm going to bind to that image that doesn't exist yet. The live basically says everything that matches the selector, even if it's added on a later moment to the page, it will still be taken in that same selector and it will be still added to that event handler. So if I add something with a specific class, it's going to add the event handler on the click function. There's also the die function. It's not that good. It will basically remove all the lives. Let me show the event functions in action. So that's this one. You cannot see a lot. I should first show it, of course. Might be easier. this is a giraffe saying hi to the window in the plane. Look at when I was flying to the US. They have all kinds of weird giraffes over there. So, let me zoom in on what happens here at the bottom. Hoover, there's a Hoover event on there. I click here. There is an alert showing here. I click once again. The alert is showing again. Let's scroll to what was shown here. You hoovered me. Hi there is added. You clicked me. This is a once in a lifetime click. You hoovered me. You clicked me again. But you see that the once in a lifetime click is only shown once. That's probably going to be the one function working for you. Let's take a look in code. Events. Oh, well, you already opened it. So the giraffe image, I'm going to bind the click event to the function that says hello there or hi there. I'm going to add another event handler to the same function. As you see here, you click me again. I also bind the mouse over. So you see I can chain as much as I want. I can add as many events. And this is the one that says one, that is only executed once. The first click and then it's gone. Now let me add another image. Bruce is there again. I can click on Bruce and it still triggers an event. Now, why did it do that? Because here at the bottom, I also specified this one. Select me all images and using the live function, binds, in fact, the click event with this alert. So every image, even if it was added dynamically, will also get that event handler attached to the click event. All right. I'm going to go quickly over this one because we're going to take a look at jQuery UI later on. jQuery Core, which is what we've been looking at so far, has some basic effect possibilities on board. They're very basic. It can hide stuff. It can show stuff using the hide and the show function. I think you all figured that out for yourself. They are, again, overloaded. You can pass in a speed to say how fast or how slow the hiding or the showing should go. And you can also pass in a callback to specify which code has to execute once the animation is done. The hide and the show basically can be used to collapse or to expand an element into one point. There are some overloads, not overloads, there are some variations. Slide up, slide down, which will slide up and slide down. Fade in, fade out, which will, believe it or not, fade in or fade out. Again, it is all very simple. And then the animate function. The animate function is the one that you should default to if the other ones don't cut it for you. The animate basically allows us to specify a target value for a specific CSS property. For example, we can say every element that has some class applied on it, animate them so that from their current value of the opacity to value 0.25, variate them to in a slow time span, so it change the opacity from its current value to 0.25 over some specific time span. And basically jQuery will, let's say, interpolate the values to change the opacity over time. As mentioned, I'm going to show you very quickly these animations because they are very simple. This is how to hide an image and show an image. This is done through saying the specific image, hide it or show it. There are overloads, passing in the time that you want to use to hide or show it. So I can hide it slowly and I can show it slowly. The hide and show, as mentioned, expand or collapse into one point. The variations are the slide up and the slide down and the fade in and fade out. So fade out, Bruce is a bit faded now, and now let's fade in Bruce again. All right. Not going to spend any more time because we're running a bit behind on time schedule. Oops, that's not the one. More important is Ajax, calling the server back. Now, again, when we were all young, a bit of a nostalgic afternoon today. In 1998 already, Microsoft introduced something called Outlook Web Access for the first time, something we still use today. Not that important, but what was in Outlook Web Access was the ability to call back to the server from scripts, asynchronous calls from scripts, basically what we still know today as Ajax. And this only was implemented many years later in the form of the XML HTTP request object that in IE6 was still an ActiveX object. In other browsers, of course, it wasn't. Resulting in the fact that to cover all browsers, we needed to write browser checks, dependency checks, features checks, feature dependencies. jQuery does not allow us to write these checks, doesn't want us to write these checks, and therefore deserves another I Love jQuery bumper sticker. Basically, the most easy implementation is using the load function. The load function says, load in this URL, and that's it. That's basically what an AJAX call is, load in a specific URL. Again, it is overloaded. We can pass parameters. If we do not pass parameters, it will result in a GET. If we want to do a POST, we have to pass parameters. I was falling over my words there. We can also pass in a callback. Passing in a callback that is executed whenever the call is complete. Now, as mentioned, the loads will either do a GET or a POST based on the fact if you pass parameters or not. If you want more control, you can use the $get, $getJSON, or $post to do the GET or POST call. Let me show this one in action. So, I'm going to ask to load an HTML page, as you can see here. I'm loading in the HTML page. Wow. How did I do that? Well, I did that with the load function. Let's take a look here, the load function. It basically says, load in this specific HTML. I can also use it passing in a callback, which will be executed once the load is complete. One thing, these will both result in a GET because I did not specify any parameters. If I want more control, I can also use this one to say, load an existing page. What if something goes wrong? I can check what the status of the message was and then display that message. So you can see that happening here, load an existing page. Sorry, there was an error. The error status is 404 and the error message is not found. Now, loading in some basic HTML is perhaps not what you do every day. We can load in some HTML, for example. Into a select. So this is a basic select, an HTML select element. And I want to load in some seasons. I'm going to load in the seasons. That is now contacting an ASHX, so an HTTP handler. I'm going to select something here. I'm going to post back and it's going to say it's winning. How did we do that? Let's take a look at that one. That's a bit more an advanced stuff. So I have a season loader. An ASHX, which is going to return me some options as a plain content of HTML. And I want to include that inside of my select. So what I do is, again, the same, use the ASHX on the as a URL for the load. When I select, however, with this one, when I select, I have to use I have to pass a parameter, the selected season. Therefore, this is actually going to be executed as a post. The load will translate itself into a post. If I want more control, if I want to make sure that this one, the other one, the first one, was done through a GET, I say $get. If we, however, need more control, the load is quite basic. If we need more control over the AJAX request, we can use the AJAX function. The AJAX function is called through $.AJAX. It's a utility function, passing in many options. In fact, this one has so many options, there's a separate method to create like defaults for these properties, the AJAX setup, which is going to be used from then on for requests, for all AJAX requests from that page. And also, this one supports global events, events that are going to be broadcast over the entire page, so over all DOM elements, and all DOM elements can respond to these events, can subscribe to these events. These events include AJAX start, send, success, error, and complete. So whenever one of these events triggers, it will basically, I can, I can basically attach an, either DOM event, other way around. I can either attach these events on any DOM element that I want to make them hide or show. Let me show this in action. This one, yeah. Page number 5. Same sample, but look now, there is a working as a div that's being shown now while it is loading, and it's going to show again when I'm selecting something. This one is now done through the AJAX method. That's this one. So now I say, get, first this one, no, sorry, this one, wrong demo. This one is now saying, do me a get, but now I'm using the AJAX function directly. Do me a get, this is the URL, it's going to be HTML that we're communicating over. Do this on success, basically append the, or set the response as HTML for the season select and do this on an error. I subscribe to the global events, as you see here at the top. The working div, which was the one showing working, had an AJAX start function event actually attached on, and this is the event handler to show div, and when it was complete, that's somewhere over here, it is going to hide that div again. All right. Now, before we continue, this also works with MVC. This also works with WebForms. Some people think it doesn't work with WebForms. This works perfectly with WebForms as well. I'm going to show you two sort of demos, first with WebForms and first and then with MVC. The first one is with WebForms. I have a basic sample that uploads, for example, tasks or something. Do the laundry. It's a purely imaginary sample. Do the laundry. That's now being posted and persisted on the server somehow. This is done through WebForms. Let's take a look at the code. It's a simple web form that has a web method attribute applied on one of its methods, making this a page method. A page method is like a mini web service that can communicate over JSON. It accepts a string and returns an item, and the item is defined here as a class that has just one string property item name. From my call in my jQuery code, I use I'm using the value that was entered here. I create an object called DTO that captures the value that was entered. Then I say $AJAX, do a post, use JSON. This is the URL, ajax6.aspx/add item. The data that you need to send is the JSON stringification of that DTO. And on success, I want you to get back the response. And the response was an item, which contains an item name property, and that's what you see here. Response.d, d is always added by ASP.NET, .item name. And then I can append that. If I want to use MVC, that works perfectly as well. You've seen that probably this morning already, so I'm not going to spend too much time there. So I can post something. It's actually returning me a string. What I want you to see is that in my code here, make this one a bit smaller. In my code here, the URL is basically a controller method. home/post from AJAX. If I take a look at my home controller, it has a post from AJAX method that says return. Thanks for clicking me. It's possible to post values. I'm not going to spend too much time there. I also want to show you the one at the bottom, and that is a JQ grid in action, and that is basically a grid that runs entirely on the client side. It also works perfectly in harmony with MVC, of course, because it's simply asking the values for display to a controller method. We take a look at the home controller again. That's this one. Load GQ grid. that I pass that some JSON data that has to be in specific formats for JQGrid to understand. And the data that I'm showing here is some movies, and I'm passing that back into an object containing JSON data, like this one, in JSON format. And in the index, go back to the index.spx, here we have it. So the JQGrid method, which is a plugin, I'm going to plugins in just a few minutes, is posting to home, it's retrieving the values from the method that can be, that is accessible over home/load JQGrid. So it doesn't really matter if you're using web forms, if you're using MVC, they both work perfectly in harmony with jQuery. All right. Up until now, we've seen jQuery core. jQuery has an extensible architecture, and there are many extensions available. The biggest one is probably jQuery UI, which is a plugin that focuses on UI, hence the name probably. Basically, it goes a lot further than jQuery core when it comes to UI-related effects. We saw the basic animations of show and hide. jQuery UI goes a lot further in those UI-related stuff. It adds effects, interactions, and widgets. It's also themeable. There is something called the theme roller on the website that allows you to entirely theme the widgets and the things that you download with jQuery UI. I'm not going to show that. I plan to show it first, but it takes too much time. It allows you to completely change the styles because the styles are actually quite complicated to do yourself. It's not a good thing to start creating them from scratch. Start from an existing theme or start using a theme roller to create a new theme. So as mentioned, there are three things in jQuery UI: effects, interactions, and widgets. Effects go further than what jQuery UI had from the effects, the show and the hide. This one goes further. There is an effect method, and the effect accepts the type of effect that it has to execute. A puff, a highlight, a shake, all these things are available in jQuery UI from effects. And it also extends the already existing elements, existing methods. Things like show and hide and fade in and fade out, they are extended. There has now an overload that accepts a type of effect to go with the existing effect of jQuery core. Let me show you these ones quickly. That's this one normally. Nope, it should be this one. There you go. So, this one is going to do a bounce. Extremely useful in all your regular business applications. You can also bounce horizontally. You cannot live without it. Now, we're joking with it, but let me first close the MVC demo down. But they are actually quite useful in several places. Let me show you how they are written. That is demo 9, if I'm not mistaken. It's this one. So, what do? We include jQuery UI. As you see where my mouse is here, jQuery UI is included. And then we specify the div to be to have an effect, bounce. There are no specific parameters passed here. In the second one, the direction is changed. These are actually passed using some parameters. They're all the same. For example, you can do a highlight. You can do a transfer, which can focus from one element to another element. I'm not going to show the code for all these. They're, again, quite simple. You can show with puff and hide with puff. It's going to blow the things away. And these are the overloads, the show with a slide, the hide with slide. So these are all quite easy to understand. It's always the same thing. Use the effect method with a type of effect, or use an existing one, show or hide with a new effect. The second thing that jQuery UI brings to the table are interactions. Now, interactions basically go where HTML hasn't gone, in HTML4 that is, allowing us to do interactions with the elements. Dragging elements around, selecting elements, resizing elements, which one haven't I said, drag and drop, sorting probably. So these, they add possibilities for us to start doing things with existing elements on our page. How do they do that? Again, very easy. Things like dragging is enabled by specifying the draggable function on an element. By saying draggable, the element becomes draggable. If you add droppable, that element that has a droppable on it will become a drop zone for draggable events, the draggable elements. They are again overloaded. For example, you see there at the bottom, I specify disable as a word, as a parameter for that draggable method. That will make sure that the draggable effect is temporarily suspended. So you don't have to destroy the draggable events, but you can temporarily enable or disable them. Let me show you these interactions. That's this one. So dragging first. So I want to start dragging around with this image. You can see here. You can drag it around. I can make sure that it's only draggable within the parents. I cannot go any further now. I can make it revert to the original position. That's handy if, for example, you combine this with a droppable to check something in a specific location. I can also, for example, clone. I've changed the cursor as well. It now leaves the original one at its position. I can change the opacity and also make sure that the dragging only starts after some offset. So I start dragging and after some point it starts dragging and I change the opacity. Again, this is all quite simple. That's demo number 10. It's this one. Scroll. No, yeah, that's the one. So I select my image and I have the draggable to make an element draggable. I have a droppable as well, again passing parameters as well. I have a droppable as well to make an element in combination with a draggable accept input from others, accept drags, let's say. So I'm making my first images draggable. I'm now creating the drop zone and now I can drag something on here. And I see that I'm also using the revert to the original position. How did I do that? Well, using the droppable function. Oops. That was small, need larger. One element becomes the drop zone, it becomes droppable, and the other elements have been created with draggable true, with a draggable and revert true, making sure that they revert to the original position. I'm going to show you the other ones, I'm not going to show you the code for those. Sorting, for example, allows me to sort between two lists. You can drag items from one to the other, and if I want at some point to save this or to serialize that, I can ask this list what is the serialized data and persist that with an AJAX call back to the server. So I can make sure that I can save this as well. And the final one is selections. I can select rows, for example. This is a table. You see here, I'm selecting now, and all the rows that I have dragged on are selected. Oops, not this one. The final thing that jQuery UI brings to the table is widgets. Widgets are new controls. HTML is limited in the amount of controls. jQuery UI brings some new controls to the table. The ones that you see here, actually there's a difference between how they are implemented. Some controls add to existing behavior. For example, button, the button and the button set function, they actually change existing buttons, for example, to be themable. So you can apply some specific theme on them. Other elements like the date picker, for example, they extend or they append themselves on an existing text box, for example. And then a dialog box and some other ones as well, for example, the tabs and the sliders, they take an existing element and form that into the specific widget. A dialog box is often created from a div using the dialog box method that creates it into a dialog box. That's what I specified here. So the date picker is handy to enter dates, quite logical. It has a lot of functions, a lot of options. You can use the set defaults if you want to specify some defaults for your date pickers. That is appended on an existing text input field in most cases. The dialog box is nothing more than a div with a z-index that is on top of everything else. So it will make sure that the rest is not clickable or accessible. About every element can become the content of a dialog box, but in most cases it's done through a div. That div can contain text that is downloaded from Ajax if you want to. You have a lot of options on this one as well. Let me show the widget in action. So let's go back to this one, buttons. So as mentioned, buttons actually extend the behavior of regular buttons to make them themeable. So this is what happens when you apply the button methods on regular buttons. This is what happens if you add, or you change them actually to radio buttons or checkbox buttons. They become clickable. You can also add icons if you want to. You can see that here. The icons is a specific thing that it does. It basically downloads one huge image and using coordinates on that image, it actually clips out the image that you actually need on your control. So that makes sure that you only download the image once, and from then on, you don't have to download it again because it's cached by your browser. Let me show you the date picker. Date picker is this one. By default, there's no date picker. I enable the date picker on this field now, and I can select date. At the finish of the dialog box, this is a dialog box. It's not a dialog box. This is a div, and I'm going to convert that into a dialog box. It's again overloaded with several options that I can use to create a more efficient dialog with yes and no, and some. I can specify what has to happen when I click on yes and no, and what has to happen when it is being closed. All right. So, we have about 10 minutes. I think I'm a little short on time to explain you everything on plugins. Let me go quickly over them. So, plugins, since actually jQuery is nothing more than a plugin. There are many plugins available on GitHub, on Google Code, on the jQuery UI website, and you can write them yourselves as well. Downloading and using a plugin is really easy. For example, this one is one that the day that I created this demo, this was on the popular section on jQuery website, the jQuery website, I think. It basically allows me to scroll or create an image crawler of images. How do we add that to an existing page? And if you say, yeah, well, this is exactly what I need, you include the the JavaScript code. That's the magic scroller.js that I include in my, or that I reference in my code. There's always some explanation on the parameters that you have to add, and then simply you convert, in this case, I think it's a div, using that method, passing in some parameters to enable that plugin. It's always the same thing. There are many plugins available. I'm not going to spend too much time here. Plugins to make sure that there is some default text hint. Plugins that you never want to use that make it snow on your website. Don't know if it's visible, but not every plugin is useful. Having said that, I'm not going to spend time on explaining you how to write your own plugins, but I'm going to skip through to this one because we only have like 5 minutes left. And that's the last big revelation that was from Microsoft in the jQuery world was that the proposed plugins were accepted. The plugins that they proposed, jQuery templating, data linking, and globalization, were accepted by the jQuery team and are now official plugins. That means that they are on the jQuery website, that the documentation has been integrated with the existing documentation, and even jQuery templates will be part of the 1.5 release, which is now in beta. So templates is becoming part of the jQuery core. Now jQuery templates is probably the most important one. It's if you think of a template, what is a template? It's a piece of markup that is going to be rendered several times based on the data that you pass to it. So here we have a template. The li part is actually the template. The script block is the container. I'm coming back to that in just a second. So the template is actually going to be rendered for each data item that I give it. So I pass it an array of movies, and it's going to render itself, taking out the name and the release here, and then it's just going to show some markup. This is done through the TMPL method, the template method, which will render the template. At the bottom, you see how it's being used. I select my template. I actually specify the container of the template. And using the TMPL function, passing in an array of data, I am actually going to render the template for each object, for each item within my array of movies. I'm going to append that to a move list, which is going to probably be an unordered list. The container is most of the time a script block. The container is what you use in your selector. So the jQuery function selector TMPL. The container is what you use to select the template. It's not a good idea to put this in a plain div because it will actually be rendered by your browser. That's not a good idea. Therefore, if you put it inside of a script block, like it was in the previous slide, not this one, it's going to be skipped by the browser, and it's not going to be rendered, making your HTML look fine. You can also, of course, download the template using Ajax if you want to. Let me show you templating in action. It's still snowing here. No, that's not this one. All right. So the outcome is, in effect, a list of movies in this particular case. How did we do that? Close this one down. How did we do that? Templating, this one. So I had an array of movies. In this case, the data is client-side available. It has a name and a release here property. This is my template, a script block. So I'm making sure that my browser will not render this. I give it the ID of movie template. And this is the li that will be rendered, that's the actual template that will be rendered for each data item that I'm passing. So what am I going to do? I'm selecting the container, using the TMPL function, passing in the data. It is going to render the li, this one, for each data item, for each movie that I'm passing to it. And it's going to append that to movie list. In most cases, you're not going to do this with data that is coming from local data. In most cases, it's going to be live data coming from some Ajax call, for example. So in this case, I hope I'm connected with the internet. Yeah, I'm connecting to an Ajax to an OData stream using an Ajax call. I'm getting in the data. It's the same code, but using an Ajax call. I'm connecting to that OData stream of Netflix, and I'm getting in the data, passing that data to my templates. Exact same thing. The second plugin, I skipped some slides, so you can take a look at them when you download the slide. The second plugin that was made available by Microsoft, and that was accepted, is data linking. Data linking is basically a data binding engine. It's making sure that a field of an object is linked with a field of another object. How does it work? You have a form. On that form, you have, for example, two text fields, two text inputs. Using the link method, you create a link between an object, person, and the form. Because of this link method being called, on that person, a first name and a last name property will be generated for you. Making these two be binding these two, linking these two. When I type something in the UI, it's going to update the object. When I change the object, it's going to update my UI. By default, this is a two-way binding, a two-way linking, I should say. Let me show this, because this is quite something abstract that's perhaps not that easy to understand. So this is my form. I have on my form two inputs, which with the name first name and last name. I then create an object, person, which does not have properties, but I now create a link between the form and the person object. Because of this, on that person object, a first name and last name property will be generated. If I now ask the person first name, it's going to retrieve the value because it's going to be automatically generate, the property is going to be generated automatically for me, plus it is going to make sure that these things are in sync, in two-way sync. So I type something here, I check the value, I'm getting not the value of this form field, of the val. I'm not doing a val function here, I'm getting the value of the object's first name property, and if I change the value in code, it is going to update it as well. Alright? The other demos, take a look at them when you download them. And the final thing, and then we're gonna round up, is globalization. That's the last plugin that was added by Microsoft, and it makes sure that your code becomes easy to localize. Things like currencies, date formatting and number formatting are included in this plugin for more than 350 cultures. So they include JavaScript files that make the rendering of dates, numbers and currencies possible in all these cultures. Of course, in most applications, you will not be globalizing that much, so you only have to include the cultures that you need. Let me show this. That's this one. So this is now going to take a look at all the supported cultures in my application, and it's going to render a the currency that is found in the globalization file for that specific culture, as you see here. How is this done? Well, I'm going to ask to give me all the supported cultures. So it's going to read out a script file that contains all the supported cultures of my application. And it's then going to ask the culture for its name. That's one thing. But then more importantly, it's going to format specific amount in as a currency using that specific culture. In most cases, you are going to probably be using a specific culture, perhaps based on the user selection. So you are going to say, well, this is my preferred culture. In this case, DEDE, German culture. And then I can specify to format a price, so saying dollar format as a currency, dollar format this specific date, and this specific number. It's using that preferred culture for all its localized values of numbers and dates and so on and so forth. So if you take a look at this in action, that's this one. It is going to create Apple Strudel, which is quite expensive in fact. And it's going to format the date and the number like they will do it in Germany. So with that, I'm a few minutes over time. Sorry for that. I want to wind up with one slide on the CDN. There is a CDN available, a content delivery network available that I encourage you to use. I don't encourage myself to use this for demo purposes because there's always a slow network connection making my demo slow. So in real life applications, using a CDN has, however, advantages. Because you use a CDN, your browser can cache the script, you can cache the script file, therefore making other sites load faster. There is, however, advised to use a fallback mechanism that if the CDN would not be available, to always download the local script. You see the code for that over here. So with that, I want to finish off by saying, or by summarizing, where I think the love for jQuery comes from. It is a very lightweight library that allows you to write JavaScript much easier. It leverages what you already know, HTML, CSS, all those things you already know. It hides many browser dependencies. You don't have to write browser dependent checks to see if some feature is supported or not. It is easy to work with events, with Ajax. It works fine with MVC as well as web forms. Microsoft has put a lot of effort already in jQuery and will continue to do so. So I hope that you now leave this room and also say, I love jQuery. Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.